After months of delay, we now know who the next Bank of England governor will be. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. At an early morning press conference, UK Finance Minister Sajid Javid made the highly anticipated succession announcement.
The governor is responsible for keeping prices low and stable, for making sure that banks are well run, and for securing the stability of our financial system. I'm delighted to announce that the next governor of the Bank of England will be Andrew Bailey.
To allow a smooth transition, current Governor Mark Carney will extend his term for the third time to March 15th, at which point Mr. Bailey has agreed to serve a full eight-year term. David Miles is a professor of economics at Imperial College Business and former member of the bank's Monetary Policy Committee. He explains the experience Mr. Bailey brings to the table.
He worked at the Bank of England for about 30 years, up until 2016 or so. He was really at the heart of dealing with the financial crisis of 2007-2008. That's a very big role for the new governor of the Bank of England. One of its big responsibilities is to try and preserve financial stability.
Now, although Mr. Bailey has had successes, he has also had some high-profile missteps, including how the UK's financial watchdog, the FCA, handled the collapse of a flagship pension fund earlier this year.
Stuff will go wrong. That has been true for every single person who's been head of the Financial Conduct Authority, as it absolutely will when you've got hundreds of thousands of financial firms to monitor. I think that just goes with the job.
Now, there have been reports that other candidates were rejected partly because of their critical views on Brexit. Chancellor Sajid Javid addressed that issue at the press conference this morning. Here's what he had to say.
The only consideration was finding the best person for the job. And what mattered most was the experience that they bring to the table.
Professor David Miles, then, how do you think Mr. Bailey will navigate the continued economic uncertainty around the UK's departure from the EU and the prospect of more spending from the Boris Johnson government?
Quite rightly, he hasn't expressed a view about whether he thinks it's a good or bad thing for the UK, and his role will be to try and deal with the economic implications of what now seems almost inevitably to be the UK leaving the European Union.
What challenges, then, does he face with that? I mean, well, do you think he'll continue kind of the steady pace that Mark Carney has laid out during his term, kind of a wait-and-see approach to how the economy reacts to the Brexit process?
It depends what happens. The right thing for the Bank of England pretty much always is to be sort of nimble on its feet, to be prepared to move monetary policy in light of how events play out, events that are very difficult to forecast in advance.
Well, he starts on March 16th next year. Professor David Miles from Imperial College Business. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are trading higher on continued trade optimism. That's as the British pound is rallying to $1.30 against the US dollar. That's ahead of Boris Johnson's Brexit deal being put to Parliament. Chinese President Xi Jinping today rounded off a three-day state visit to Macau. He praised the southern port city's development in the 20 years since the former Portuguese colony was handed back to China. China has been keen to develop the city's economy. As the BBC's Nigel Cassidy reports, he explains whether that's possible.
It's free rides till the end of the year on Macau's brand-new billion-dollar light railway line. Tourists and locals can now get from a main ferry terminal to several famed casino resorts in minutes. Thanks to its booming gaming industry, which accounts for 80% of economic activity, the city is the latest symbol of the economic progress on Earth's most densely populated place.
For the last 20 years, I would say, Macau has been relying on those hotel and casino. But I think China and also Macau people want Macau to be more diversified.
That's businessman Harry Lai Menshan of construction company Lei Su.
I think Macau is still a bit difficult, but I think in long run, Macau can do this. Politically, Macau is quite stable and strong at the moment. If people are worrying about Hong Kong at this time, I think they would rather to think about Macau.
As months of pro-democracy protests continue to rage in Hong Kong, China's president is busy this week touting Macau as a shining example of how its one country, two systems policy can work.
Macau has managed to have this very robust economic growth and done all of it without what Beijing sees as the more contentious social aspects, without protest, without really creating any headaches for the central government. So in that sense, Macau seems like the more desirable of the two.
Well, that's the view from Ricardo Barrios, who has a master's in international politics from Peking University. But can this effort to diversify Macau's economy actually work?
There are challenges, but Beijing is still very much pulling ahead. Leaders in Beijing have noticed for a while and have been attempting to diversify the Macanese economy, not just out into other non-gambling related tourism, but also into transforming Macau into something of a hub for its engagement with the Portuguese-speaking world.
So mainland China's vision for Macau is for it to become the region's hub for tourism and entertainment. But this plan in itself is a gamble. America's Las Vegas tried and largely failed to turn itself into more of a family destination. So it's too early to tell if ex-colony Hong Kong will fail where Macau will succeed. I'm the BBC's Nigel Cassidy for Marketplace.
Finally, in the next couple of hours, Boeing is due to launch its new Starline capsule on an unmanned test flight to the International Space Station. If successful, the U.S. will be able to use that spacecraft to send its own astronauts into orbit for the first time in 9 years. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.